Legacy Sundays. I just think it's so much fun. I love to have all ages in the sanctuary worshiping together because it's special, right? It's special to see. I remember as a kid, I grew up in this church, and it was lots of you still in the room that I watched worship as a child. That taught me really the importance of gathering as a church family and being there for one another. That taught me the emphasis of the altars and what God can do for me there and so many things. I remember getting filled with the Holy Spirit at 11 years old right here. I mean, just right there. And God is so good. And this church is still flourishing and it's still impacting generations. And I love that. When I thought about Legacy Sunday, I began to think of a song. It's an old song and it talks about, let them see you in me. Let them see you when I speak. Let them hear you when I sing. Let them see you in me. And what it's speaking about is let people see Christ in me. Let it never be about myself, but always about Jesus. And that phrase just impacted me. Let them see you. And I want to talk for just a couple minutes about that today because there is always a generation looking at you. Did you know that? So I know every generation in this room, this is a message for you because it's not just for the adults talking about the kids. It's about everyone. Where's Hudson? Is he in the room today? Wave at me. That is my nephew who I love so much, Hudson McBain. Did you know that you're a big deal in our household? Because little three-year-old Tommy loves his cousin Hudson. And he is always looking at you, what you love and what you're into. Tommy loves and Tommy's into. You guys know what I mean? You have some littles around that they always are watching. And so I wanted to tell you, Hudson, let Tommy see Jesus in you. That's the challenge. And so even eight-year-olds today can understand this message. No matter if you're 80 or 8, this is a message for you. And you're doing an awesome job, by the way, Hudson. He's such a great big cousin. Let them see you. I was looking through scriptures and I thought, there's really not anything that I can say, but what does God have to say about legacy? Because did you know that if it's important to God, it's important to us? If it's important to God, it's important to us. And God talks a lot about generation and children's children and legacy in the Bible. There's so many scriptures that we can reference today. And so just really briefly, I wanted to talk about a few scriptures that can really impact us. I just have like a few points about let them see you. The first one, let them see you pray. Let the next generation see you pray. Jesus was the best example of this. We see that in Luke chapter 11, when he's not only telling the disciples about prayer, but he just showcases prayer to the disciples. It says in Luke 11, 1, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. See, he didn't just say, hey, disciples, come here, kneel down, say this. No, 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 no. He simply modeled prayer to the point where when they saw Jesus praying, their hearts were moved. And the people that were following Jesus ran to him and said, teach us, my God, what you are doing. Do they see you pray? Do your kids ask you questions? Do they see you kneeling at the altar? Do they ask you after church, what were you doing up there, Mom? What were you doing up there, Dad, Grandma, Grandpa, whatever it may be? Do they see you pray? See, when I began to think about this, I realized that as a child, although I grew up in church, I didn't really learn to pray at church. I mean, I did. I learned the basics of prayer, and I learned how important prayer was in kids' church. But I'll tell you where I really learned to pray. And that was in my home, growing up as a kid. That's where I really learned to pray. I have so many memories where I was kind of in that like high school, young adult age where I kind of was like, what is God's will for my life? And what am I going to do next? And what am I supposed to do? And although I had known God and had a relationship with him and prayed, I had to go to my mom and my mom had to teach by example how to pray. I would go to her bedroom and like early morning hours, I know she remembers, and just cry and say, what do I do? And she would say, let's pray. She would pray first and she would pray and intercede. And I would sit in her chair in her room and I would listen. And after she prayed, she would say, "Chrissy, now you pray." And it was a safe environment. And I had a beautiful model of prayer. And then I began to pray. And did you know sometimes praying can be vulnerable? Sometimes when you're a quiet personality, it's really vulnerable and tough to sometimes pray out loud or pray in front of people. But if my mom wouldn't have taken the time to show me how to pray, I wouldn't lack that discipline today. How important is it? Let them see you pray. Do they see you come to the altars, church? Do they see you seek God? Do they see you pray and intercede on behalf of the nations? Do they see you pray? Proverbs 22:6 says, "Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it." I think about my husband, who's an awesome man of God, and he would tell you if he was up here, I remember in a time of my life where I was lost and I was trying to find my way back, that I could hear in his house growing up, his mom's and dad's room was right across from his. And he said there were nights I would get home and I could see and hear my mom on her hands and knees at the bedside, praying and crying and interceding for me. And how humbling it was as he was walking through the door to walk past her room and hear that. He saw that and it changed his life. Let them see you intercede for them and pray for them, because then when they turn old, they will not turn from it. It's a promise. The next one, let them see you worship. I love days like today because we're all worshiping together in the same room. But what if we worshiped like the next generation depended on it? What if we worshiped like someone's breakthrough was attached to our worship? See, in young adults, we've been studying lately the book of Exodus. We've been in the life of Moses, and Exodus is so full of so much beautiful scriptures about generations. I mean, generations is God's business. He loves it. He thrives on it. In Exodus 33, it says, "As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud, which was the power of God displayed, would come down and it would stay and hover at the entrance. While the Lord spoke with Moses, whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, what did they do? They stood and they worshiped, each at the entrance of their own tent." Each family. And I can just imagine if we brought ourselves back to the Israelites and all million of them, and they're all around, and God is literally displaying his power. And I know that there were little ones there. I know that there were young people all around. And what they must have been seeing through the eyes of a child when God displayed his power and everyone walked outside their homes, their tent, stood at their gates, lifted their hands and began to worship their God, because his power was evident and their reverence and respect was there. And I imagine those little kids watched that and they did it too. And generations would come to Jesus because they let them see them worship. And I love this next part. It says, "The Lord would speak to Moses face to face." How powerful is that? "As one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide, his young mentee, Joshua, son of Nun, he didn't leave the tent." He couldn't. He had just seen an incredible display of God's power and might to his mentor, and he was in awe. I imagine that Joshua just stood there. "Wow, I'm in the presence of my God." But it's because the generation before him let them in. Let them see the worship and the power of God at work. Are you getting this today, church? Let them see you. The next one is, let them see you obey his word. This is a big one. Obey his word. Does the younger generation see you talk about God's word, or do they see you live it out every day? Another scripture in Deuteronomy I love, it says, in Deuteronomy 6:6-7, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. These commandments, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates. What he's saying is, let the word of God be everywhere. Let it be everywhere in your house. Let it be on your lips. Let it be written on your wall. Let it be the first thing you talk about when your kids wake up in the morning and the last thing you talk about when your kids go to sleep. Let it be everywhere. The word of God is so important. And he's encouraging his people to tell their children and their children's children, if you don't share God's word, the next generation will not know God's word. How important is it? It's so important that Jesus quotes Deuteronomy in the New Testament when he says, love the Lord God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And what? Love your neighbor as yourself. But do we model this? Let the word of God be everywhere. Let it be common. Let it be heard by your children. Talk about it. Practice JBQ with them. Maybe you have young adult age kids. Maybe you have no kids, but you're a mentor to other people. Remind them of scriptures. Sometimes there's nothing we can say, but God's word is powerful. The next one is a warning from God. It's a little bit of a shift. It's in Deuteronomy 4. And it says, only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Now he's talking to the Israelites who have seen God do the miraculous. We're talking about they watched God split the Red Sea wide open. They watched God deliver all of their people from Egyptian slavery. They watched God provide manna in heaven from heaven and supply their every need. This is the God that he's reminding them, be careful not to forget all that God has done. Teach your kids to remember it and their children and to their children after them. Remember that day that you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb when he said to me, assemble the people before me to hear my words so that they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land and may teach them to their children. How many scriptures do we have to read today to get it? God loves the generations. And he asks us to leave a legacy. He is emphasizing it once again. It's referring to God showcasing himself and his power to all the Israelites at the bottom of the mountain when the Ten Commandments are given. He's saying, don't forget my faithfulness. Share it with your kids. This has become one of my favorite scriptures, Psalms 103. And it says, but from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. And his righteousness is with their children's children. What a promise. With those who will keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. What does this mean? It's a promise from God. It's saying God's love and righteousness will be. It's a promise, will be with me and my children and my children's children if I will fear, revere, and respect him and obey his commands and keep my covenant with God. From everlasting to everlasting, what more could we want? The next one, let them see you testify. Man, I love this. Psalm 78:4 says, we will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power, and about his mighty wonders. Do you share your testimony? Do they know it? Are you a stranger? See, growing up, I heard my family share about their testimony a lot. Whether it was from a pulpit or just at a table at a restaurant, sitting there as a little 10-year-old, hearing my parents share about all God did, saving their souls at a young age, changing the trajectory of their life. And all the time I was sitting and I was listening. And their testimony as an adult has become my testimony. You see, I think about the moment my mom sat in a Catholic church and God spoke to her. Because if it wasn't for that moment in her life, I wouldn't be here worshiping God today. Because her testimony is my testimony. Have you shared your testimony with your people? Do they know? It becomes your spiritual heritage when you share your faith. You see, my family's spiritual heritage is my spiritual heritage that I can carry. I remember growing up hearing my parents tell incredible stories. Ms. Carol, so many of you, my aunts and uncles, all who love the Lord, telling stories, even missionaries in the pulpit, telling stories of God's faithfulness. And I was listening all the while, and sometimes it's created this bank for me of this awesome bank that I can pull from whenever I'm facing struggles. And that's what sharing your testimony will do. As an adult, when I'm struggling, I think, oh man, you know, it's getting tight with our finances, but I can recall when my parents shared that testimony of how it was tight, but God, they gave everything they had to God, and God began to pour out blessings and took care of them, and I can pull from that. And because they've lived it and because they've shared it, I can now walk in that testimony in obedience. Will they hear you share? The next scripture, Psalm 145. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. Let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts and let them proclaim your power. Wow. If we want the next generation to proclaim God's power, church, then we need to begin proclaiming God's power and do it a lot. Have the word of God and his testimony on our lips all the time because he's so faithful. Has he been faithful to you? When is the last time you shared it? I encourage, maybe you're, you know, older in the church today and you haven't even said a few words to some of these young kids in quite a while. Grab them, say hi to them, tell them. Tell them about how God has saved your soul and blessed you. See, I hope when Tommy, my son, sits in that beautiful children's church over there in just a couple of years, that he looks around and he doesn't just see, this is mine, this is cool, but that he hears me speak of the awesome church that came together and prayed and believed and by faith planted seeds to see that come to fruition. I hope he acknowledges God's faithfulness because we shared it with him, how a church family took a step of faith, and now everything he has is a part of his spiritual heritage. I hope that for him. Let them see you mentor is the last one. Natural for me to speak life to people because I constantly watch people in my life do it. So it's natural, but is it natural for you? Is it natural in your home, speaking life, speaking positive? Is it natural to grab somebody and help them, mentor them, guide them through life? Is it natural? Is your kid seeing it take place? See, I call my dad the dream lifter, and I'm not the first one that's ever called him that. I actually picked that up from many mentees of his that call him the dream lifter. And I'm thankful that I had a dad like I did. Because his words of encouragement, I never thought I could not do anything. I thought I could do anything. I used to say in high school, the sky's the limit, nothing's too hard for God. And I think back to that childlike faith as an adult, and I want that. I want to be able to say, nothing's too hard for God, the sky's the limit. And I can dream big because I know my God is faithful. But it's because I had people in my life that shared that with me, that impressed that with me. And so I could grab hold to the faith that they had. So what do people call you? Do they call you a dream lifter? They're watching and they will reciprocate. So let them see you mentor. The last, or the most, you know, valuable and maybe not the most valuable, but the most prominent example of this in scripture is Paul and Timothy. We always look at Paul and Timothy because it's such a powerful mentor-mentee relationship, right? And they always start with this beautiful language. Paul's books, like let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 1 for a second. Watch the language in which Paul is speaking to Timothy. Like just the language and the encouragement he uses when speaking to Timothy is amazing. We know Timothy would have been a younger person. And we watch Paul speaking in this manner. I thank God. Thank you. I guess I do take after Dad. I'm having to have that. Should I wipe my head? No, I'm teasing. I'll wrap it around my mic. You know, I'll do all the things. 1 Timothy 1:3-5. I thank God whom I serve, as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. When was the last time you went to a young person and said, I am praying for you constantly? I'm thinking about you. I love you. I'm praying for you. He says, recalling your tears, I long to see you. What kind of love? Man, if somebody came to me and said, I can't wait to see you again, I love you, I would just feel so blessed, so honored and loved. It says, so that I may be filled with joy. He's letting the next generation know, I love you, you are seen, you are valued, you bring joy to me. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. What incredible verbiage he's using. What if we spoke to the next generation like this? What if instead of saying, oh, they're helpless, they're hopeless, they're struggling, they're facing all this, I hope they get through this, the world is such a bad place as compared to how I grew up. What if we changed that whole language and started to say, young generation, we are with you. We love you. We champion you. We know that your forefathers and your forefathers had this awesome, sincere faith. And because of that, we know you'll uphold the faith. We know you will. What if our standard for our young people was up here? Don't you think they'd rise to it? I know they would rise to it. They are brilliant young people, and they can rise to the occasion. Even down to little Tommy looking at Hudson in Bible quiz. I promise you that he's going to watch Hudson do Bible quiz and learn the Word of God, and he's going to want to do the same. No matter your age, let them see you. Sincere faith is passed down from generation to generation. It's not perfect faith, but it's sincere. And people can see it. Children can see sincerity very easily. One of the last scriptures I want to read is, it's a tough scripture. It's a little bit of the negative side of not mentoring, not passing the torch. And it's in Judges 2:10. It almost makes me sick to read it because I can't imagine. But it says, after that whole generation. Now, this is in Judges when there's this vicious cycle taking place. The whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors. They passed away. Another generation grew up and knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Whew. Here's what I wanted to come here to say, and I feel like the Lord put it on my heart today. Oak Grove, not on our watch. We need some people to rise up and say, not on my watch. See, I am going to let them see me pray and let them see me worship. I'm going to live according to his word, and I am going to tell them about God's faithfulness. I'm going to speak out what needs to be said so that I can guide them through their life. I'm not going to neglect or leave the next generation. I will fight, and I will play my part, which is letting them see me. I want to be an example. Do you want to be an example today? Here's the challenge. It'll be up on the screen. Do they hear you pray? Do they hear you pray? Do they see you worshiping, not just standing? Sometimes showing up's not enough. Sometimes it's just not. Sometimes we have to push through that spiritual warfare and worship. Because I'm not okay with Tommy just showing up to church every day. I want him to have a relationship with Jesus. I want him to know how to lift his hands and proclaim God's faithfulness. I want him to know how to kneel at the altar and pray and seek God's will. Just showing up's not enough, church. Do you live according to his word? Am I showcasing the best I can be so that they follow suit? Do you tell them of his faithfulness? And do you guide them through life? They need you, and they need you till your very last day. You are important in this room, no matter your age, no matter if you have kids or you don't, no matter if you have small kids, older kids, you're a grandparent. We need each other. We are the model that God set up in the New Testament as an active, living, breathing, awesome church. And he is pleased. Reality is, as Pastor comes back up, they are watching. That's the reality. All the age groups, they're watching. And I'll leave you with this. What do they see?